I'm on the air, and that means this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and that's all we do is talk to entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I also want to thank the team, Alex Cooper, for showing up today, and Chris Gerald, who always shows up.
Alex was a little late today, though. Had to go back and get some equipment today. Yeah.
Well, it's not unusual for Alex to forget some of his equipment. So
he needs some packaging.
Well, you know, who was that voice? It was Walter Sullivan, and that means this whole segment is our specialty show on Radio Entrepreneurs, Up in Weeds. Is that what it's called?
In the Weeds.
In the Weeds.
You can go up after the weeds, but
that's true.
You got to start in the weeds
first. I must have had Alex coaching me. Our next guest, like him a lot, right away when we were talking off air, Michael Markarian, VP Business Development of Contempro Card. Correct?
Contempo Specialty Packaging is the cannabis arm of Contempo Card, which is the fashion packaging company.
Okay, I was wondering why I didn't have that name on my sheet. So, you know, I can do stupid by myself. I just needed the help.
Well,
so
let's keep moving. No problem.
Well,
it takes a village,
right? Michael, tell us about the business.
Yeah, so the history of Contempo is in the fashion world. So we're a second generation family business out of Providence, Rhode Island. My mom and dad started in the jewelry boom of the 70s and 80s. They were jewelers. My grandparents were jewelers, and they saw an opportunity to create a packaging company to cater to the fashion industry, mostly jewelry. One thing led to another. One press led to two, to three, to 10. And today, Contempo on the fashion side works with the biggest brands, everyone from Steve Madden to Nordstrom to Givenchy. We just added Ralph Lauren, doing beautiful branded packaging. And about 2 years ago, we started getting inquiries in the cannabis industry from dispensaries, from brands, from some cultivators too, saying, look, we don't want to settle for the generic packaging that's in the space today just based on necessity. We need your help to take the same approach that you've done for 40 years with the biggest fashion brands so my dispensary looks beautiful. And we built out an arm, and we're having some great success.
Now, what's the difference between packaging for jewelry versus packaging for cannabis?
Well, there are definitely some differences.
Geez, I would love to answer that one too, but you go first.
Well, maybe I should
no,
cater to you.
You know, right. I think branding is an interesting thing, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so I would say the general process is the same. The idea of understanding who's the client, who's the target persona, how do we cater to them and give them a customer experience through the packaging that they're going to enjoy and that they're going to resonate with and connect with. The differences come where there's a huge compliance piece of things in this industry. So we all know about child-resistant packaging, which a lot of us call child-proof packaging.
We call that crisp packaging at Mage, our my consulting firm.
There you go.
Right.
So that's a piece of it where there's a new technical component. So we're taking the same beautiful fashion stuff, because we believe that long-term in cannabis, it's all about the brand.
Right.
The people who are failing to realize that, I think, are in for a long road, and that's not even opinion. You look at states out west like Colorado, you look at what happens to people who don't build their brand, it's a race to the bottom with the wholesale flower prices. So we're just encouraging people to look at branded packaging earlier rather than later.
So what do you have to do different in packaging for cannabis? Explain some of the safety developments you created for childproof.
Yeah,
and so still making a good brand.
Yeah, so it's walking that fine line between child resistant while still looking beautiful. So compliance is always number one with us, because if something's not compliant, then, you know, you're out of luck. So
we never want trouble.
We don't want trouble, and we don't want to create trouble for our clients. But you can understand the challenge where we're working in multiple countries, not just multiple states, but multiple countries. So we're up to speed on compliance, but things change so quickly. So we're constantly engaging with the client to make sure that they're up to speed and that their stuff is compliant. But you look at this box, it's called the Vault Box. This is our first CR-approved item, and people are going wild over this. So it's called the Vault because you need a key or flat object to open
it. I was wondering about that hole at the end.
So you pop that through there.
With a Patriots key, I noticed.
I mean, come on, we're in Boston. What other key would I be using?
Yeah.
So, and you feel like this rigid Apple-quality box. So there's some other child-resistant boxes, but they don't have that fashion eye. So you look at that. That's used for cartridges. People are using that for pre-rolls. This would be used for an edible. So the Vault comes in multiple sizes. So this would be used
for... I can't open it without a key.
There you go. So you need a key or other flat objects. You need a pen. Here, take the Patriots key, or you can use the pen too. So again, it's all about how do we create child-resistant packaging that's also beautiful, that's also in line with our fashion eye. So I'd say the compliance piece is the biggest difference. The process is actually strikingly similar that we take with clients.
Now, I have to ask you, what did your grandparents say to you when they said, oh, we're getting into the marijuana packaging?
Give me some.
Well, that was actually the true answer. Maybe that was the answer from up above, because most of them
party
aren't
time
with us anymore. My grandmother, I think she's
hip.
Maybe we'll call her hip, right? I don't know. I don't know what she thinks about it, but I think she's supportive of what we're doing. I think the whole stigma is changing very quickly. That you know, the idea that cannabis is this mysterious thing to be feared and concerned, I think a lot of that's dying away with fact and reality that's getting out in the world. So even, I think, I'll talk to my grandma and I'll let you know. How about that? Is that a good answer?
That's fine.
Okay.
But, you know, marijuana is, if you listen to my mother, who's been passed away for a long, marijuana was always around and always very, it just wasn't, let's say, public.
That's right.
And the difference is it's come out of the closet. Now, Walter, don't you agree with that to some degree?
I've been out of the closet for a while.
Well, maybe.
Oh, boy. I'm talking about marijuana.
Where do we go with that?
Sure.
Oh, I'm talking about marijuana as well.
But it's true.
I hope my wife would think that, no.
It's always been there. And it's always been something that, you know, I grew up in the 60s. But now I think it's just much more out there, which is why they legalized it, to make sure that it's more controlled and the government gets revenue.
That's right.
But more controlled and we can deal with it better.
And I think, as Michael put it, I mean, incredible design of packaging and so
beautiful
forth.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's no longer the Ziploc bag.
That's right.
That you see people walking around with.
I think that's one of the big things that's hurting the legitimacy of the industry. It's when you go into a dispensary and it looks like the Ziploc bag era, right? Instead of it looking like every other store. We say, who do you want to be in the cannabis industry? I want to be Louis Vuitton. Some people say, I want to be Restoration Hardware. Some people say, I want to be Walgreens. I don't want to be flashy. I don't want to be
McDonald's.
Over the top. I want to be professional. If you want to be McDonald's, we'll help you do that too. So
I want 5 billion served worldwide.
Well,
nothing
someday
wrong with sprinkling a little oregano on a hamburger.
There you go. Well, maybe there's a business model there too. So I think the piece of the, you know, it was always out there is one of the reasons why this is such an unbelievable opportunity that all of us realize, and that I think a lot of people listening realize, it's that how many things are like this that have just been out there, that there's this window of legalization. I don't know how many. It's truly a once in a lifetime opportunity, right? We throw that term out there a lot. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Well, because, you know, you've sort of described a traditional historical marketing curve, and that is, it starts as an unbranded product and mm-hmm. then goes to branding in building consumer demand, and, you know, and ultimately national companies will get involved mm-hmm. and the small will disappear. So if you're following the history of all industries, eventually the branded ones will be bought up because they'll have market share and market loyalty, just like if you're talking about Boston, Bread and Circus.
That's right.
The coffee connection. You know, you build a regional brand, you build some branding, and then the national companies will finally want to get you because they want to make their money and they have to protect their investors.
That's right. Oh, he really does know his stuff. Look at this.
Incredible management advisor and branding advisor.
I think so.
And so I think I like what you're doing, because once you build loyalty, you've built loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do that with branding.
And it's no different from other industries. I say that, you know, the product, there's certain nuances that are different, but the idea of build a brand or you're going to be in a price war,
right,
is the same as other markets. And you look at, I say, who are the brands you admire in other businesses, in other industries, and look at the path they're taking. Look how they market, look how they package, look how they advertise, and just the product's changing. But that, like, don't reinvent the wheel.
No, I think you're right. The thing about marketing that always amazes me is it's not as complicated as people think it is. And the models have been proven. They're out there and they're being shown every day by leading industries about what to do. And all you have to do is look at what they're doing. They're doing all the billions of dollars of research into the consumer purchasing patterns.
That's right.
Read their stuff and save yourself $1 million of research.
There you go. Or at least learn 80% of it. And then the last 20 can be what's unique and what you tweak.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Michael, you're a true entrepreneur in the cannabis industry. And that's what this show is all about, entrepreneurs.
Yes.
If you're advising someone, whether they're making boxes or packaging, whatever, how did you come about deciding to enter into this industry? You know, and what advice do you give someone that's looking to take their type of business in to provide services to the cannabis industry?
Yeah, well, I think our case is unique, and it's actually the case that, actually, I wouldn't say unique, but maybe everyone wouldn't share it. And I think it's my new philosophy in business, which is, you know, not coming up with ideas. I'm thinking of an idea in my brain, and let's see if the market wants it. The best businesses, they're proven by demand. So our business, this whole Contempo specialty, was created by inquiries coming in. Can you brand us, and can you create that beautiful packaging? And then from there, we spotted an opportunity, and we built the team, we built the infrastructure, we did the R&D. So that's really, I think, the core. It's like you don't have to think of this idea. It just kind of comes to you, and then it's execution rather than wondering if your business idea is going to be good enough.
Chicken or egg? Did you come up with this idea and go to your family? Did your family come up with this idea and go to you and you went with it? Did someone outside the business? Where did this all originate?
So it's a wonderful question. I think it's actually quite a funny story. So I was running another business at the time in early 2017 when we were starting to get some initial cannabis inquiries. I had a medical condition, actually. I had a surgery. Thank God that's behind me. And I was in the recovery process around July, August. And my brother, who runs the fashion side, said, "Hey, Mikey, we're getting a lot of cannabis inquiries. We're thinking about going to this Vegas show. I want you to come to our meeting. Come to this meeting. We're going to talk about it with the company." So I said, "All right, what's there to lose? I'm just recovering, feeling good again. Let's do this." So I come to the meeting, and he's saying, "We're going to the show, and you're in charge of travel, and this person's in charge of product. And Mikey, I think it would be a good idea for you to be the CEO of this division." So I said, "What? I'm going to be the CEO of this division?" He said, "Yeah, I think this is a real opportunity." So I said, let me investigate this. Let me look at this. When I went to Las Vegas and saw the response that people were having, the demand and the interest, again, being the number one thing, it's like we don't even have to sell the idea per se. It's about putting it in front of people and they really want it. I said, "This is a massive opportunity and we're going to build a business off of it." So it was not my idea. It was... let's give the initial client who inquired maybe 2 years ago, but then my brother was actually the one who said, let's turn this into its own entity.
Listen, you got to come to our Radio Entrepreneurs Cafe and bring some of these products and put them out.
Absolutely.
So show them to people and talk about branding. I think this would be great.
I would love
but
that.
If someone were looking for you before that, wants to know more about your business, how would they find you?
So you can go to contempopackaging.com. You can also find us at Contempo Specialty on Instagram. And the last place to find us is the Cannabis Packaging Show. So we created a YouTube channel. You can go to cannabispackaging.tv, and we talk about how do you market pre-rolls? What are some ideas for flower that are outside the norm, outside that plain generic packaging? The Cannabis Packaging Show is getting a lot of positive views, and it's starting to get out there, which is pretty fun.
Well, Michael, we love having you on the show. You're going to come back again, right?
Absolutely. I loved it. Thank you guys so much.
Michael Markarian, and we also, obviously, that was Walter Sullivan we were talking to. Just want to tell our listeners, I mentioned it briefly, Entrepreneurial Cafe is a cafe we have every quarter on Radio Entrepreneurs. We invite entrepreneurs all the time. Watch our website. Alex Cooper will be posting it on there for our next one in October, and we hope we'll be seeing you there. You have to register to get involved. Also, in October, we're going to be having our special show at Gray, Gray & Gray with the one and only Rich Hershen. Also, again, we're going to have guest hosting coming up in the next few weeks. John Dustin from JED Insurance. We love John Dustin. And also our legal show from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, where Mark Furman will be hosting, will also be coming up. And then one of our favorite shows, as usual, is also coming up. Our Best of Care will be happening in Quincy also in this month with Kevin Smith. So Radio Entrepreneurs, busy month ahead.
Making moves. Look at
making
this.
Making a lot of moves, a lot of things going on. You know, waiting for Walter Sullivan to get on the bus, but, you know, he's a stubborn guy.
I think he's about to come on the bus.
I know. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.